Amen. You may be seated. I got to look in, and I don't have an opening scripture this morning, but we have enough of them to make up for that. So don't you fret and don't you frown. Amen. It's good to see everybody here this morning. It's good to have the guests that are here today, whether it's your first, second, third, or 215th time. We're glad to have everybody in this place. If some of you do not know, my wife and I are over the grow groups that we have here at Apostolic Praise, and this semester we're going to be skipping that because of the tent revival and the prayer and all the fasting and consecration that the prep, the everything we're going for that it's just a little bit too much to throw in. Something else in there, which is amazing and awesome, because I can't wait for the tent revival and everything else, the community or the prayer here, everything. And so this past semester's Grow Group theme was on the subject of serving, and serving others, serving the community in different ways and situations. How many remembers that went to a Grow Group serving? Amen. And with this upcoming tent revival, after prayer and think about this, I felt impressed to once again visit the subject on serving. And so I titled this message, To Serve or Not to Serve. And it was, I just thought of something, to put out there, kind of a rhetorical question, because we all know we need to serve. Amen. Amen. So who should serve and when is one of my first questions. The phrase, I'm here to serve you, often brings gratitude and respect. Wow, hey, Brother Pearl's going to serve me. I'm here for you. I'm here to serve you. But what does it truly mean to serve, especially as followers of Christ? Once again, thank you for asking that. We are going to answer that question by delving into scripture, reflecting on our roles as servants and leaders in the kingdom of God. The role of service in everyday life. Well, that's one of the first things we want to talk about. Consider this scenario. You're on a flight. How many has been on a flight? Up in the airplane. How many has never been in an airplane? Anybody yet? No. Okay, so you're in a flight. And the flight crew is offering you refreshments, drinks and snacks and pillows and blankets, because you're on a transatlantic or a transcontinental flight, so it's kind of long. Nowadays they don't give you anything unless you pay for it. Maybe there's a couple out there, but the last one I did, they're Allegiant. They were like, you're gonna pay us. I just want a little half of, thank goodness that people next to me were Allegiant card holders. You know, there's a MasterCard or a Visa card for everything. And they didn't get anything, so they told me, you can have our drink. So I got a Diet Coke for the flight to Indiana. So their service seems thoughtful and kind. Here you go, Mr. Bruce. Would you like a blanket? Would you like this? You know, they don't really know your name, but I guess they could. But would you like this? Would you like that? Debbie, are you feeling good, right? So you think there, man, it's really thoughtful and kind. But yet moments earlier, these same individuals were firmly explaining protocols, risk, and even indicating potential consequences for noncompliance if you do not heed to their instructions. Seatbelts on, no smoking, no loitering, don't get up. Don't go around the cockpit when we're in flight or even before. Don't do that. Despite their firm directions, their demeanor remains professional and courteous. Amen. As Christians, we can kind of draw a parallel. We draw a parallel here. We are called to serve our community, our fellow believers, and those who have yet to know Christ. But in our service, there may be times we need to give a firm, clear, loving guidance to them. And scripture reminds us of the importance of combining truth and love. Ephesians 4:15, our first verse. But speaking in truth and love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, That is Christ. Everybody say Christ. We are serving God. All through my message, at the very end, we are going to be serving communities and serving each other and serving leaders and leaders serving us. But it ultimately, the common denominator is we are serving Jesus Christ. Just as a flight crew balances authority with service, we too must lead others to the kingdom of God with a spirit of encouragement and friendliness. We, as apostolics, don't need to be Baptists. And I love Baptist people. They are awesome and amazing. Sometimes they will go out of their way before an apostolic person will go out of their way. Sorry, experience. All right? But they also say, can we have a Bible study? Sure. Oh, whatever you make out of that, that's good. And then they just, that's it, right? We, as apostolics, understand that Romans Road is talking to a church that was already saved. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Yeah, you've done that. You've been baptized. The day of Pentecost came and Acts came, and now you're doing that. But at a Baptist, the Romans Road is just, hey, all you have to do is say the name of Jesus and everything is all right. So sometimes as an apostolic, when we are teaching the truth, there is a firmness involved. There is a assertiveness that you have to do courteously with love, like they do. You don't see flight attendants upset unless there is a problem. Because everybody who probably has Instagram has seen all those things, right? Just people freaking out. Luke 10:34. Through 37. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him in his own animal and brought him to the inn and took care of him. Of course, we're talking about the Good Samaritan. Which of these three do you think provided to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robbers? And he said, the one who showed compassion to him. And Jesus said, go and do the same. As an example, the Good Samaritan serves a stranger by providing medical care and hospitality, embodying love and action. When we are out and about and we are walking through the streets or we are riding in the car or we are visiting a grocery store, when we see an emergency, amen, something that we maybe might not be educated enough or not that medically advised to put a tourniquet on somebody's leg, but we definitely can go over and pray for them. And we can say it's going to be okay and give them encouragement and love. And that's what this Good Samaritan, and he didn't preach the gospel. He was serving him. And sometimes it starts out by serving. A good Christian approaches with love and encouragement, not judgment or inflexibility. Matthew 25:35-36. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in, naked and you clothed me. And I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Actions of serving others. Jesus emphasizes serving others through acts of kindness, showing that serving people is equivalent to serving him. Remember what I said earlier? It's about him. It's all about him. Amen. Sometimes we feel embarrassed. It's about him, though. He did so much to overcome your embarrassment. I know it's tough. We all have different personalities. We don't like walking into a room for a birthday party. Some of us don't, and feeling embarrassed. We don't like being awarded something. We don't like being on stage to speak. And then other people, like my wife, will parade into a birthday party and dance and say, "Woo! This is awesome." She has no fear of that. She is like that. She can be the center of the room, and that's great with her. And it's not because of arrogance or anything else. It's because of her. She loves people and she understands, and you can tell those people. Are anybody like that as well? People just come to you because of your personality, and they know you're like just very outgoing, and they know they can talk to you because you're a servant. Amen. And then there's those quiet people too that will fix things, that will go to somebody's house, that will give you the gas instead of there in the car, but they don't want any limelight over it. That is serving. They are a servant. So we have different people here. today. But it's all still about serving God. Good Christians offer understanding and love. Leadership and service. I'm going to talk about leadership here. And as I look around the room, I see musicians that have been in leadership that you've never heard play. I've seen preachers that have been in leadership that you've never heard preach. I see leaders at work that you've never, here in this building, there are leaders at work that you've never seen lead. I've seen examples in the community of leaders here in this church right now in front of me, next to you, that you've never seen lead. You've never seen them serve in those capacity. So when I'm talking about leaders here, we automatically go to church leadership, and I am talking about church leadership as well. But there are leaders in this community or this congregation that lead outside this church, that have led in other churches, that will lead again in this church, that will lead. They are. And I want to correlate leading being a servant. It is. In the church, leadership often carries a responsibility of service. Hebrews 13, 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. I read this actually in my last message too. The strength within you. Or the strength in you, so that they may do this with joy, not groaning, for this would be unhelpful for you. Leaders are called to serve their congregation. And now we're talking about church, not merely in words, but through actions that uplifts and strengthens the body of Christ. Amen? And leaders, you guys, you know that. This is what God has called us to do, even out in the community. We serve and uplift that community or at work, especially here in church as well. Leaders are, as this verse says, they watch over your souls and give account. Most of us have heard this where explaining that followers must obey leaders. Because we see that because they're going to stand up and they want to give an account to you. But it also means leaders have a God-given responsibility to care for the spiritual well-being of the congregation. They are shepherds tasked with guiding, protecting, and nurturing the faith of those they lead. Leaders are accountable to God for how they fulfill these duties. And this adds a sense of gravity to the role of a leader, as they must lead with integrity, faithfulness, and love. 1 Peter 5:2 says, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not with greed, but with eagerness. This is a leader. Not yet domineering, and the King James says, don't be a lord over them, those assigned to you with care, but by providing an example to the flock. Examples to the flock. That's the kind of leader I want to be personally, in here, at work, in the community, and in my family. Many leaders may stand up in the pulpit and say, I am here to serve you. Yet some might question how often, and once again, I'm talking about leadership in the church, not one particular person, not one particular title, not one particular position. As I just mentioned, how many leaders we have in here. We have quite a few, if not everybody. I look around. You could have been a leader in your family, your community, something we don't even know about. So we never want to take that for granted. So a leader might stand up and say, I'm here to serve you. But some may question how often they feel served by their leaders. And this critique is valid. Don't be taken aback when I said that some might question. It's valid, and it serves a reminder for those in leadership to continually evaluate their dedication for serving others. If anybody was ever, and I know I can get in trouble for this, but was ever a Star Trek fan, in the new generation, there was this character named Data. And he was always doing a self-examination. And I've said this many times, especially in Bible studies, that I always want to be able to step back, look in the mirror, pray, and say, God, what is going on in my life that I need to get the bugs out, if you want a technical term there, to get that out. I gotta examine myself. So we have to continually evaluate our dedication to serving others. It's okay to question leadership. Yes, even in the church. It's okay to ask respectfully and kindly. Okay? Don't be like, no, this is, you know, you're wrong, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be like that flight attendant. I don't have to put on my seatbelt. Well, the air marshal here or the gate crew says you do. And the pilot can come out and we can just cancel the whole flight. So you got to say, listen, do you have a seatbelt extender? and then that's a better way to ask instead of, I can't wear this. Yeah, just extend it a little bit and maybe that will help you. Loosen it up a little bit. I'm always on a seat that the guy in front of me has to lay back. But you know what? It's his right. It's okay. Every once in a while, I get kicked in the back, especially if you're on Spirit or Allegiant. The seats are like this thin. So you feel everything that's going on. And our JetBlue or whoever those, JetBlue, I try to get the big seat up front. It's not first class, don't get me wrong. I've never been in a first class seat. Sister Pearl needs to buy me a first class ticket. So you just have to, it's okay. You know, if somebody hits you in the back, it's not all the time. You just got 2 hours on the flight, you'll get over it. It's okay to question leadership, but kindly. Hey, Brother Roger, Thursday night, what did you mean by this? Can you show me? Can you do that? Or can you show me more about what you were saying? Whatever the point is, it's okay to reach out to your leaders. So leaders, it's okay for them to reach out to you. And I think sometimes saints, either as a little kid or new person in the church or an older person, you still remember feeling intimidated to talk to your parents or your leaders or your pastor or your boss at work. You feel intimidated to do that. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of experience with that because not a lot of things intimidate me. I'm sorry, they just don't, besides Renee. So, I am not that intimidated except by God when he tells me. Sometimes I do get scared when he tells me to do something. I will admit that. So whatever it is, I feel sometimes saints, they get intimidated by leaders, pastors, ministers. I also feel that the majority of the time is because we have not experienced a servant leading pastor or leader. But maybe a my way, and that's it, kind of leader. Been there, done that over the years, seen that, what I'm saying. This is it. This is the way we're doing it. That's it. And so we might not have experienced that, but Jesus himself modeled servant leadership. For even the Son of Man, in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for a ransom for many. Serving as the body of Christ. Of course, service is not limited to leaders. It is a calling for every believer. I don't remember, Sister Locke, the title that it was, but is it servant leader? Or we read a book. I just went through a book, and it was called that, to be a follower or a servant leader or a follower, that even though you might not consider yourself a leader, but you can serve to lead. You can serve to lead. You know, I might not be a leader, but I'm in charge of this bread packing thing, the cleaning thing, the outreach thing, and Pastor put me there, so I'm going to serve in that capacity. And of course, it's not limited to just leaders. It is calling for everyone, all believers. Galatians 5:13 encourages, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. That's the key. We need to serve through love. When we serve collectively, we build a stronger community that reflects God's love. Imagine a church where every member actively serves in some capacity. And I encourage everyone here, and this is not a plug, it is a little bit, but not, to go to the Tent Revival page sign up. and you know, and sign up. I think Pastor, I talked to him this morning, he's going to send out that link again for a sign up. You might already have it somewhere on you or in your phone. Go there and sign up for something. There's prayer walks. There's set up, tear down. You don't want to tear up anything. Not yet. We're gonna tear up this world when we make it to heaven. When each person uses their gifts for the common good, the entire body of Christ thrives. 1 Corinthians 12 says this, and verses 4 through 7 reminds us that now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. True service stems from a heart, so a heart of service, aligned with God's purposes. Colossians 3, 23 and 24, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord and not for people, knowing that it is from the Lord and that you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. This reminds us that service is ultimately an act of worship offered to God rather for human recognition. And I understand that we appreciate leaders. Okay? But leaders should receive that with humility. It's an honor to receive appreciation from people that you serve. That's a good way. That's a good statement. It's an honor to receive appreciation from people you are serving. You are their servant. Amen? There's challenges in serving. Serving is not always easy. It requires humility, patience, and perseverance. Philippians 2 challenges us this in the verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility. Consider one another as more important than yourselves. Man. I got to consider them more important than myself. Love your enemies. Love your neighbor. Remember all those verses? Do not merely look for out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. How and what I'm saying at this moment, how will that affect who I am talking to? How will that build them up? How will that give them encouragement? Amen. Even if I have to talk firm, how can I encourage them with a word of firmness? Well, I understand that Romans 10 says, call upon the Lord and you shall be saved. If we go back to the first couple verses in Romans chapter 1, we see that Paul's writing to a church of saints. These saints, you know where they came from? They came from the book of Acts. And they had the Holy Ghost and they were rebaptized and baptized. There's a way to get your point across instead of saying, well, nope, you're wrong about that. So let me show you what's right. So there is a way that we can do that when we present. There may be moments when we feel unappreciated or overwhelmed, right? We can find encouragement in the example of Jesus who served tirelessly despite facing rejection and suffering. Isaiah 53, you know the prophecy of Jesus, right? As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, and he will bear their wrongdoings. Jesus was the epitome of a servant that didn't feel appreciated, but he had humility, and he had honor to do what he did for our salvation. There's also the reward of service. Service involves sacrifice, but it also comes with a great reward. Matthew 25 verse 21 tells of the master's praise. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we all are striving for. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Enter the joy of your master. Serving faithfully opens the door to greater blessings, eternal joy in God's presence. Serving does this. It makes everybody feel better. Amen. Have you ever had a waitress or a waiter or a flight attendant or a concierge, you know, somebody, a host, that really enjoy what they're doing? You enjoy being there. And that's when we serve, when we teach the Word of God, when we have a Bible study, when we're talking to somebody out. That's a goal. Whenever, and I'm going back to my work stuff, I'm a computer guy, but I also mentor other computer people. And I tell people that when I leave a little office, I not only want to fix their computer, but I want them to have a better outlook on life. No matter how, if I have to talk about church, talk about my kids, my grandkids, my wife, whatever it is, I want you to feel better. And when I'm even in Bible studies and stuff like that, it's not just boom, 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 boom. It's how do you feel about that? Hey, can you correlate this to your lives? I think our last grow group, as well as many of them, we have had that in our grow groups where people were putting that together in their daily lives and coming out and talking to us, and we all felt better afterwards. Even some of them were horrible stories, like sad stories, I'm saying. We all felt better because of the encouragement and love goes into to servanthood. One of the most significant, and you may have never heard this before, and possibly overlooked ways to serving, and it's probably just in my mind you've never heard of it, is teaching God's word to serve by teaching God's word. We know Jesus was a teacher. Two conferences ago up in Indiana, we had a minister's meeting, like a ministry, not ministers, but a ministry, a little sidebar section, you know, the room filled up. And every one of these people that were speaking were dynamic preachers and prophets. They were amazing. And everyone stood up and said, teaching is more important than what I do. So all you teachers in here, understand Jesus was a teacher. And that's how important servanthood is. Teaching. He was a teacher and he loved. Yes, he was the greatest preacher in the world, and we say that too as well, but he was a teacher. What they're trying to say is, we are up here. We are. It was amazing, and God moved in that, and it was just awesome. But I remember that, and I'm like, that is amazing that they said that. Because how many times do? And you can look around. Today's actually a good service here for the teaching, but the next service is going to be packed. But Jesus was a teacher. And so sometimes we get the meat here. And I think I might have even mentioned it here. I might have taken it off. But the teaching is solid. I remember looking this up at one time, and it said the preaching is more of an emergent thing. It's like, you got to get saved right now. Let's go get baptized. Speaking of that, there's a heater in the baptismal. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. Hallelujah. It's getting cold down here in Florida. We often correlate serving with, well, serving in some capacity or another. Set up, tear down, meal prep, meal serving, cleaning, picking up someone, bringing them home, picking them up, bringing them to church, dropping them off, putting an offering in the basket to help. In fact, with our upcoming tent revival, there are plenty of ways to help serve. However, the act of teaching scripture is both a privilege and a responsibility, and it involves serving and guiding others towards truth and spiritual growth. When you sit down and you talk to somebody about the Bible in your home one-on-one, you are serving them as you're teaching them. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Acts 1:8, amen. Go to Jerusalem and tarry until the power come upon you. It's the same scripture. Basically, Luke wrote it a different way. I feel, and it's not in my notes, but the Lord spoke to me this morning, and I feel that how it's a responsibility of every saint to go use this verse and go out and reach the lost. It is, if you need to be focused on reaching the lost, it's a commandment from God. The like figure, if I can use that word, us serving one another, that's going out to reach the lost. Us serving one another is just as important in the church towards each other, to the saints. That's what we need to be doing. If we're not serving each other, like my last message, that strength, we won't have it. If we're not together on everything and we're not serving each other, even sometimes we might not want to serve, amen, then we will not have that tightness and that closeness as a body of Christ when we come together and serve each other. And yes, there's other things involved with that, as we know. We're having revival. We're having prayer meetings. We're having all that. But yet, ultimately, we need to serve each other in Christ. And we're going back to teaching here. Teaching is central to that Great Commission I just mentioned. 2 Timothy 2:2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others. Teaching ensures the continuation of faith, doctrine, equipping others to carry the message forward. I don't have this up there for them, but James 3 reminds us the weight of responsibility of teaching and the need to be diligent and have integrity when you teach. Colossians 1:8, we proclaim him, admonishing every person and teaching every person with all wisdom, so that we may present every person complete in Christ. So teaching aims to bring believers in maturity. I say this saying, if I'm green, I'm always growing. It's when I'm ripe, I start to rot. I never want to get ripe. I always want to be learning in Christ, learning in life. I always want to be growing. I don't want to, I've arrived, and now look at me. I don't want to do that, because that's not even close to happening until I'm in heaven, and then I'm still a servant to God. I want to praise him and worship him and serve. Matthew 5, verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain and he sat down, and the disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes we saw, we can read further on, but for time. This introduces that Sermon on the Mount where Jesus taught extensively about the kingdom of God and righteous living. Luke, I don't have this verse either, but we read earlier about the parable of the Good Samaritan. It was in response to a lawyer's question about the kingdom of God. You remember inheriting life and loving one's neighbor? We need to serve others. Mark 4, 1 to 2, and it began to teach by the sea. And such a very large crowd gathered to him, and he got into a boat on the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on land, and he was teaching them many things in parables and was saying to them in his teaching. This was the beginning, is the beginning of Jesus teaching parables of the sower and other parables to illustrate truth and about kingdom. Sometimes you have to look to your right or your left and find a boat and stand in it. Sometimes serving and teaching is going to be so strange, so different. I have sat on a torpedo in a ship and taught Bible studies. Wherever you can, you need to preach or teach the word of God and serve in that capacity. You'd never know where you can end up being. Jesus, our teaching in love and encouragement. Jesus constantly demonstrated teaching should be rooted in love and encouragement. I think I've made that point earlier. But he aimed to guide people towards God. We should aim. This is the result. I mean, think about it. You don't want to be rough and make somebody upset and never come back and ask you a question again. Matthew talks about in 11, Jesus invites the weary and the burdened to learn from him. In Luke, Jesus proclaims the good news to the poor and freedom to the oppressed, emphasizing healing and hope. In John 8, Jesus shows compassion to the woman caught in adultery, correcting her gently and offering grace. He didn't say, you shouldn't have done that. Get out of here. Everybody pick your favorite rock. Sometimes we're out And about, especially when we see other church people, we can get judgy. Instead of, how are you doing today? Awesome, great. Hope to see you back in church one day. Or hope to see you in church today. We don't need to be judgy. All right? And even if you go home and you talk to your significant other or your family and say, oh my God, did you see what they were wearing? You got to be careful on that too. You got to be careful. John, or Mark 10, Jesus welcomes children with open arms, valuing them and encouraging them despite the disciples' rebuke. Jesus shows that being a teacher also comes with the incredible responsibility of serving others, as I mentioned earlier. But here's John 13. Then when he washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said unto them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are correct, for I am. So if I, the Lord, your teacher, washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example so that you will also do just as I did for you. Teacher being a servant first. Amen. Amen. Well, wait a second. He was teaching out there, then he came in. But he was serving, teaching and serving. It demonstrates humility and the importance of serving others. He demonstrated that serving others is always a teachable moment for you and those you serve. If you would stand with me this morning. And I wrote this as my conclusion. If we all serve, we all win. If we all serve, we all win. When each member of the body of Christ embraces their role as a servant, the entire church benefits. Serving others is not a duty, but a privilege that reflects God's character and advances his kingdom. Whether in leadership or even part of a congregation, every act of service matters. Galatians 6, 9, and 10. Let's not become discouraged in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not become weary. So then, while we have the opportunity, let's do good to all people. And especially those who are in the household of faith. Remember I talked about how serving each other in the household, in the congregation, is just as important as us reaching the lost to build the kingdom of God. We have to do that. When we serve together, united in love and purpose, we experience the fullness of God's blessing. Ultimately, so the question is not to serve or not to serve, whether or not to serve, but how can we serve more effectively and with greater joy? And when we serve, we honor God and we bless others and we grow in Christ. Why don't we lift our hands right now and just love God? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. You're amazing God. You're a mighty God. Lord, help me love one another, God. Help me serve one another, God. Lord, help me be an encouragement, a teacher, God, a blessing, God. Lord, I thank you, mighty Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you. Remember this message today, and let's go out this afternoon, this week, and just ask God, how can I serve someone this week? How can I be a blessing to someone? How can I teach somebody? How can I help somebody? In Jesus'